Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart in. Call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to another edition of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. He's Mr. John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. On the agenda today, the awful state of the Yankees, the questionable slash struggling awful state of the Red Sox pitching. Yeah,
we'll talk about for more than a minute, hopefully, right?
Right. I think that would be nice. And then we're going to transition the Red Sox pitching into this whole conversation about spin rate and cheating and the impact on baseball that everybody is talking about. We'll sort of break it down for you, and John will give you his take, and I'll give you mine, and we'll move on from there. But
and we also we're going to talk about an internet sensation. Hopefully, an internet sensation. A pitcher for the Reds.
Oh, that signing that you showed
we'll
me.
About
yeah, we'll
too.
Talk about that too. But let's start with the Yankees. And again, depending on when you listen, you know, I think that it's time. You know, hovering right around 500. Their stars play sometimes and don't play other times, and they're boring and they're not that good. And at what point is there accountability, either on the roster, in the manager's office, or in the front office?
I mean, there should be accountability right now. It's amazing
where
I would say, I mean, unfortunately, it's probably going to come down on Boone's shoulders, I would think. Unfortunately, because he's the face that's out there all the time talking in the postgame and spewing out the same crap over and over and over again. Oh, I think we had some, you know, good grinded out, some good at-bats here. I think we're showing some more progress here, but there's never any progress.
Well, we could have won a couple of those games.
Right, we could have won a couple of those games. It's just bad. And now the reporters are kind of, turning on him. And he's, you know, what they asked last night, are you getting used to losing in the dugout? And he, basically said, get out of here with that,
Well, it's kind of a crappy question.
It's a bad question, but, what it is at this point is frustration, because the reporters are covering a crappy team.
Right.
And as much as, you got to be non-biased as a reporter, you still got to be part of that. And you got to ride that the whole season, so you don't want to sit there with a crappy team. You know what I mean? So it's frustration all around.
So in basketball and hockey, when players tune out the manager or the coach, the team can implode. In football, if the coach is organized and everyone's got their self-interest at heart, the coach sometimes doesn't matter as much, right? The coach can make a huge difference.
It's more compartmentalized in football.
Right. So my question to you is about baseball. I'm not saying they tune him out. I don't know. But say if they did, does that matter? Does that make a material, does that have a material impact on what goes on if they quit on the manager?
I mean, I don't think they're quitting on the manager, but yes, it does if that's what happens. I don't think they're quitting on him. The team is just so blah, dude. If you just look at him, there's nobody other than Aaron Judge, and he's having an okay year, but if you put his numbers up on some of these other guys, like the guy they're talking about trading, Kendall Marte, right? His numbers are better than Judge.
Right. Well, Judge, my thing with Judge, if he played more games, his numbers would be better. I mean,
right, he just doesn't play enough.
He takes a game off here and there because of this tightness or back spasms. Right. I mean, he's so big and strong that he's just so fragile.
Go back to your question, right? So they're 33 and 32, or hovering around 500, right? And you look at a team like the Diamondbacks, who all they do is lose, right?
Right.
All they do is lose. But it's the Yankees, right? If you put... Most in baseball, especially in that division, you'd be happy to be in that position, right? Obviously, you want to be in first place. You don't want to be,
because they're quote
almost
unquote
double digits
at hovering on 500. They're quote unquote competitive,
right? And okay. In the general scheme of Major League Baseball, absolutely. But in the AL East, obviously not. But it's not such a big deal if you're a crappy team, and you've been a crappy team. The Diamondbacks have sucked since 2001, right? When they beat the Yankees,
right?
So nobody cares. The Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins have sucked since 2003 when they beat the Yankees. So nobody cares.
So your point is they're still the envy of half of baseball by being average?
It's like you never have them like... Nobody ever wants to stick their neck out and count them out. You read all these things and it's like, oh, well, the power rankings are out and this and that. But no one ever is just going to be like, the Yankees suck. Like,
except they're
devoted fans that are just frustrated.
So I'm trying to read into what your actual point is. So your point is they might actually be a bad team, and it's just taking us a long time to make that call.
Right, because they're supposed... Yeah, everyone thinks they're supposed to be good because you got Garrett Cole, you got Aaron Judge, you got Gleyber Torres who's supposed to be good, you got Frazier who's supposed to be good. But you also got a 38-year-old center fielder playing for a guy who can't stay on a field more than 50, 60 games a year in the last, you know what I mean?
Well,
you got Stanton, who's hurt all the time. So it's like, what we talked about this in the last episode. You can't fix that. If you're not going to be able to fix that, you're going to have to fix something, and that's going to come down to the manager getting fired, I'm sure.
Well, I wonder at what point that does happen. I mean, the team's batting.
Well, it has to be the All-Star break if they keep falling.
Team's batting like 230.
They're in the bottom of like basically every single offensive category in Major League Baseball.
So that's not the case for the Red Sox.
No.
And so they can hit, but what they've all of a sudden can't do is pitch.
Had the staff that you thought would be great.
True. That's fact. But the statistic, there was a six-game stretch in June where it included that 18-run Toronto game, but there was a six-game stretch where they allowed an average of 8.8 runs a game, okay? And this... you're right. They maybe were pitching above their weight a little bit, and maybe
still a lot, regardless.
But, right. So people point out. Now I don't have facts to back it up, but I'm just saying people point out that right when they started to talk about the crackdown on the foreign substances, supposedly all the locker rooms, you know, got quote unquote clean, and what happens to the Red Sox? Their ERA shoots to the moon, and their starters all of a sudden stink. Now, I don't know that – I can't prove this a correlation, but it raises the question in this forum here at Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Is that sort of guilt by association? Does that mean you think the Red Sox were doing something untoward more than other teams? Because we both know that a huge percentage of pitchers do something.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what you read, they say it's 70 plus
of starters,
70%.
So if you're doing it and still stink, you must really stink.
Well, I mean, I read an article and Martin Perez was like, you know, I've never used it. You know, it's just not good location. Well, I mean, that's better than the Garrett Cole answer.
The Garrett Cole answer was
awful.
Awful,
right? But no one's even talking about that anymore because the Yankees are awful. It's like that just got swept out of the rug.
No, it's because he went out and pitched well.
He did pitch good.
That's what quieted people down.
And the whole Josh Donaldson thing, that helped.
He basically admitted that he does do it, but then he went out and pitched well.
He admitted like Mark McGwire admitted to doing steroids.
Yeah, but you know, it was obvious that he's done it.
So 70% or more are doing it. That's what you think, right?
Certainly.
Do you agree with that?
I don't know if that's the number, but I mean, it seems pretty apparent that it's a majority.
Because you talk
how
about...
How long do you think this is, like, is this... I guess my question to you is this an all-of-a-sudden thing, or has it always been the case?
Oh, you're going to love my theory on this.
Okay, I'd like to hear it.
You're going to love my theory on this. So, balls have been being doctored forever, right?
Right.
Somehow, you know, and then you watch the movie Major League with Harris and the Bardol and the Badge of Sale and all this stuff, right? So, that aside, right, my theory where all of this starts again, not to point fingers at the Astros again, but Justin Verlander... Right?
Mm-hmm.
Huge resurrection later in his career. Turns into a Cy Young pitcher again. Cast off basically by Detroit, right? Now, it was Detroit. They weren't great, but they did. They went to the World Series in 2012?
They had some good runs, yeah.
Right. So, all of a sudden, he goes to Houston and...
He's good again.
Amazing again, right? Amazing for four years, right? Now he's hurt. But still, like, all that shadiness, right? Cole goes to Houston, right? Under the tutelage of Verlander. My theory is it's Verlander has something to do with it. This is a theory. But it all comes out of the trash can era down in there, you know? and it fans out across baseball. Now, I'm not saying, is it just the Astros? No.
No, but maybe the way it started to go
Roger
big.
Roger Clemens took it the needle.
Yep.
Maybe it was the sticky substance, the chemists or whatever. These guys got millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You can't tell me they can't find some nerd to get them something?
So it's fun. That brings up an even better conversation, which I hadn't heard talked about, is that you can't really maybe do steroids the way you used to, and maybe this is the steroid of this decade or this century or what have you, because you needed to get an advantage, and this is the way to do it. And now we're going to detect and root this out, and then it's going to be something else, because they're always going to look for an edge. And the question becomes then, I used to just make this joke when cocaine was rampant in the NBA. Why don't you just, or steroids were rampant in a bunch of sports, why don't you just let them do everything?
Let them do everything.
And
eventually their body will just reject it anyways.
I just wonder, my question to you is, what do you think? Do you think they should just continue to chase after and be behind what's really happening and trying to figure out how to keep baseball pure? I don't think they would just throw the towel in, but what if you just said, do anything you can?
To get an edge?
Both sides.
And whatever you want to do. Steroids, trash cans,
anything you want.
You name it. Everything's free game.
No, I'm just asking, what do you do?
It's a larger, off players.
It's a larger question of what do you do?
I mean, I guess you got... If you want to get it out of the game and you want to make a concerted effort, and I think Major League Baseball at this point has to, because it's basically... The portrayal of it now is basically Major League Baseball turned a blind eye like the steroids, and now it's just become such a huge situation they have to do something about it.
So they knew all the time.
Right, they have to do something about it. Granted, is it that big of a difference? Probably not, but the thing is, again, just like technology, science is probably taking it to a level where they can probably get stuff that you can't see, has probably a no color,
right?
And then all you need is such a little bit of it that it's not like you're going to go buy it at a store or something. You probably got to have someone make it or whatever. You know what I mean? Or conjure it up. So maybe it's time that they have to get to a point where they say, listen, if we find anything, it's going to be some sort of suspension or whatever, just to say stop. Because they're going to go, like you said, they're going to go to the next level, right?
Right.
So if you don't squash it as much as you can now, what's next for the sticky substance
And do random spot checks and this and that.
I guess, but
just like the way they used to do drug tests,
right.
You know, random drug tests.
Now, some people will say MLB had the seams higher or whatever, and that helps. Or, you know, now they got to maybe wind the ball seams down lower.
Well, that was one of the arguments, I forget who made it, is that they were like, well, Major League Baseball manipulates the ball all the time.
However they want to.
Yeah, and so why can't players, you know, respond in kind? I think it's the type of situation where the one thing that's also lost in the conversation is these guys are so good that even something that's just marginally helpful can make a huge difference.
Huge difference.
I mean, because, you know, getting more spin and rotation out of the ball, if you're an elite pitcher already throwing 95, can be the difference between striking a guy out and that person getting hit or what have you. But for the average person,
exactly.
It doesn't do anything for.
But you make a great point there. You know, a lot of, like, I think Pete Alonso went on record saying, put whatever you want, right? Because, Brian, you and I can't talk about this. We've never stood in there against a guy throwing 97 or someone that's gotten a little crazy in the last batter before you, right? Now, if you're a professional baseball player, maybe you feel a lot more confident in there knowing that guy's got a little bit more grip on the ball.
Oh, you're thinking the spin keeps it from hitting people.
Right. Maybe. Right? If a Major League Baseball player is going to come out and say, use whatever you want, there's got to be something there. I mean, he can't be the only one thinking that. Now, he is the polar bear. He's a little bit different than everyone else, but still.
You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, in reading about the spin rate stuff, they say it's helpful if it's really slow or really fast. It's the middle where people get hit hard. I don't understand the physics of it, but I was stunned. And I don't know if Alex Cora took it from Houston to Boston, and I don't know if any of the Boston pitchers are guilty. I'm just saying that since this whole thing has become a topic, their starters have been awful.
Their starters haven't been good in the Major League Baseball in general. The pitching is different across the board.
So if you take that advantage away, you already have this huge home run culture. It takes me back to I don't know what to do. Maybe you don't have to back the mound up. I don't know.
But you also, I mean, you talk about substances on balls, but going back to what I said before, now maybe teams like the Red Sox are not using as sophisticated stuff as teams like, or players like, You know what I mean? Maybe it's not a team.
Yeah,
maybe the
problem was more pervasive on the Red Sox. So when everybody stops, it makes a big deal. There's all these things. So we'll see how it plays out. Interested in your, you know, any comments from people watching or listening. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You wanted to tell this story. And I actually,
speaking of pitchers,
I have another story that I might want to tack on at the end, depending on time. But tell me the story.
So this story is great. So there's a pitcher named Hayden Shenefield. And he was undrafted out of Cal State Northridge.
Right.
And he was in two seasons in the minors, not minors, independent league.
Okay, so he didn't even go to the organized
affiliated. Didn't even go organized. So then he was in the, after COVID, he, in the 2020 season, he went, and still in the independent league, pitching for the New Jersey Jackals. And he posted a 1.71 ERA over 11 appearances. So then last month, he saw that the director of pitching for the Reds was putting something on Reddit saying, ask me anything about pitching, right? So he wrote, heck, why not? And he said, why not ask if he'd take a chance on a 26-year-old undrafted free agent with some pretty good stuff? So one thing leads to another, and he gets some looks at him and sees him pitch, and he signs him.
It reminds me like Jim Morris from The Rookie, right?
Right.
He just goes to some random tryout with his three kids and his baby crying and throws 98.
Yep. So he gets on a chat with the guy, and he gets signed, and he's pitching in low A ball for the Daytona Tortugas, and he pitched 3 1/3 scoreless innings the other day, and 2 hits while walking none and striking out 4.
So why didn't, like, did anything change in his baseball? Like, he wasn't hurt or anything? He just got unnoticed? What did he do in his 2 years in the minors? Nothing?
I think he was just probably in just the independent league. You know, he was probably just mediocre and overlooked. And then when the pandemic hit and all the cutbacks across baseball, scouting goes down,
yeah,
and people aren't traveling. And next thing you know, he's just he's a statistic going back to work somewhere.
All from just going on Reddit and throwing it out there.
The power of technology and social media.
Shows you how desperate they are for pitching.
Now think about this. Think about in 1980, when was Rico Bronya? 88, 85, 86,
yep,
right? Think about
late
Rico
80s.
Bronya, pandemic hits.
Yep.
No one even knew who Rico Bronya was, and he was one of the best players in the country in 1988,
right?
What happens to him or players unlike him back then?
Who didn't get seen. Yeah, yeah.
Technology is unbelievable. Even 10 years ago.
So I wanted to quickly, before we say goodbye, I don't know if you saw this Phillies. This is over a week ago, but it bears, because people should go look the video up in the interview. This rookie for the Phillies, Luke Williams. So he was in the minors, tearing it up, batting like 340, got invited to play for the national team in the Olympic qualifying. Did amazing. And the Phillies call him up.
The team that's going to go to the Olympics with Frazier and Matt Kemp and those guys.
He played great. He played great. And then he gets called up to the Phillies after that qualifying stuff. And he's like 24 years old from California kid, second baseman, you know, good size second baseman, and hits a walk-off. His first home run in the majors was
a walk-off.
And then after the game, he's interviewing with like Tom McCarthy and the other guy on the TV side, and they're asking about it. And he's so emotional, and he's just talking about his family's there and all this stuff. And the players keep going. They went over like 4 times and dumped Gatorade on him.
Yeah.
And the takeaway was a couple things. And his whole family was there. And mom was crying. And the reason why I bring it up is, A, when you have a 24-year-old kid who's been in the big leagues for a week, yeah, and you have the players dumping on you 4 times, it means they like him.
Yeah.
You know, and they want it, and they were happy for him,
right,
which is like the macho interpretation of that kind of behavior, but it's true. And then they went through like 3 or 4 mics that got ruined when they dumped it on his head. And then he's like all emotional. He just talked about it. And you realize that for some kids have incredible talent and it just carries them, but some people have great talent and it takes work, but it takes like a team, right? You need like supportive parents, you need supportive
people believing
coaches
in you.
And yes, and to believe in you, and then he just basically was like, I just want to pay them back for what they did to get me in this position. And I get emotional. You know, we're both dads and sons. My kid's never going to play in the bigs or whatever, but like, it's just that.
Yeah, but maybe he pays you back in a different way.
And that reminds me of like Brad Pitt in Moneyball. It's like it's hard not to get romantic about baseball when stuff like that happens. So I encourage everybody to just Google Luke Williams walk-off interview
and
just listen to it.
So one more quick thing. So you talk about baseball, right? So I've coached a lot of Little League teams. A lot of Little League teams, right? So my youngest son is 12. It's his final year of Little League. So he's been on the Angels for the last 3 years. Now, the Angels go going into this year, have won six straight championships.
And your older son was on the same team?
No, he was on the Red Sox.
Oh, got it. Okay.
All right. So that was a whole other issue. We can go on that another time. So we're going for seven championships, right? This year, six leading into this year. Go 13-1 this season. We lose to the Red Sox, our only loss, right? Right. Go into the playoffs, and we're playing the Braves, and we're losing in the fifth inning, right? And we have a kid on our team. He's a 12-year-old. He's not the greatest player, right? But he's one of those players in Little League that he always tries hard and everything. Comes up with the bases loaded in the fifth inning and hits a ball off the top of the fence in left field. Now, it's not a short fence. It's like over 200.
Were you thinking of pinch hitting for him?
No. I'm just saying, it's like it's baseball, so you never know.
Right.
Anything can happen. Now, that team could have been the worst team in the league and smoked us that game, right?
Yeah.
Us being the best team. Now, if you asked me in a million years if that was going to happen that night, in that given situation,
you said no way.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
Fast forward 2 days, fifth inning, bases loaded, same team, championship game, not the playoff game, right? Losing in the fifth inning, same kid comes up, triple, not off the top of the wall, one hop off the wall, break it open, we win the game. Now, what are the chances of that happening?
Right, and you think about where you were in Little League, like, A, he will never forget that as long as he lived. And those are the things that can change the course of, like,
everything. Confidence, you name it.
Yeah, whether he takes it with him into school or it just gives him another year or two playing baseball whatever.
So I know this kid. I've had him before, right? And that is the two biggest hits he's ever had in his life, right? Ever. And I was coaching third, and just to see the look on his face when he got there. To have it happen twice, too.
Right.
Insane. It's just insane. And it just goes to show you that, you know, sports in general, life in general, you just never know, right? But there's something about baseball that it's just woven into the fabric of society that it's just crazy things happen, man.
It's hard not to be romantic about baseball. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman, and this is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Share, like, and listen to wherever you're enjoying this podcast. We'll see you next time.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.